Track 9, Nature Notes with Chris Skinner. Let's have a listen now to local farmer and broadcaster Chris Skinner, who is joined on his High Ash farm by BBC Radio 4's Farming Today's reporter Brett Westwood to go in search of a rather elusive animal, the brown hare. And guess what? They were in luck.
I joined Chris Skinner on his farm at Caister St Edmund in Norfolk, where we drove across the fields in search of hidden hares.
What interests me is because they're different. I don't fully understand them, and that's what fascinates me about them. And it all comes from when I was about 8 years old. Over in this field in the corner, there was a hare shoot here, and I was put in the gateway as what's called a hare stop, to stop the hares running out of the field, to actually wave my hands and turn them back towards the guns. And I was watching them. There was four or five hares sort of milling about in front of me. One or two had been shot and were being carried by the farm workers. And one of them was running round really fast and ran straight towards me. And would you believe it, it ran into me. I was only young and I was absolutely petrified. I thought it had come to bite me or something.
Race the wind, the skiver, the shag the hare, the hedge squatter, the dew hammer, the dew hopper.
And it wasn't until much later on I discovered what had happened. And hares have almost got 360 degree vision. Their eyes are high up on their head. They're constantly on the lookout for predators. And if they're being chased, they can actually see behind them. So if something gets close, like a fox or, say, coursing, a dog's chasing them, which is now illegal, they zigzag and try and avoid being caught. But they have this, which adds to their mystery and their madness, the reputation, if you like. They have a blind spot dead in front of them. This hare was running straight towards me, looking behind, and crashed into me. And I'll never forget the feeling. And ever since then, I've been respectful of them and fascinated by them at the same time.
Images of the hare aren't confined to medieval church bosses. As Chris Skinner and I waited in the truck for our first sighting of his hares, he surprised me with a story showing how far back our relationship with the hare goes.
This farm is famous because there was an Anglo-Saxon cemetery here, and the Saxons called the hares Hara, and we have a field here called Harry's Field, and I often wonder if it goes right back to the time of the Saxons, because they lived here. But this is the first place in the country, if you like, where coinage was used. And there was a tribe here. We have a Roman town on the edge of High Ash Farm called Venta Iceniorum, which literally is the town of the Iceni. And the Iceni, first people in this country to use coinage. What did they put on their coins? And I have one in my finger. It's called a status. It's in silver and beautiful design of the moon on the back with stars. And if you turn the coin over, what do you see on the back of it? It's a hare.
It's a hare. And how old is this coin?
This is just over 2,000 years old. So the same tribe we've heard of, Boudica or Boadicea, and that is the coins that the Iceni use. This is fantastic for hares. And the middle of the field, this is a 30-acre field, there's a fallow plot, and it's left rough and uncropped. And that's where we're now going to drive up to. Fortunately, the ground's nice and dry at the minute. We can drive across the field because we're lazy. And we can visit the fallow plot. We'll have a walk on there and see if we can see these elusive hares that I'm very much in love with.
I believe you. I know they're here.
I shall probably whoop if we see a hare, I tell you.
As we go, just remind me, these are brown hares, aren't they?
Yes, European brown hares.
And
here we are!
We're right in front of us.
Stop the car!
Look at that!
There's
a hare just bolting away from us.
No, it's not. It's stopped.
It's stopped.
It's stopped about 60 yards. I'll get my binoculars as well. Do you see what I mean? Yeah. They just spring up from nowhere. Binoculars out, ears erect. Black tips on the ears.
Very long ears.
It's feeding.
It's actually, it's not too worried.
Look at that, long whiskers. Yep. Oh, just a stunning sight. And it's sitting up. You can probably hear us because I'm talking like a foghorn. Oh, look.
What I like is the fact it's backlit by the sun, so it's surrounded by a little halo of pale fur.
Oh, you are so spoilt, Brett.
That is beautiful.
And that has made my afternoon already. We haven't even tried. We haven't got out of the truck. How lazy can you get in Norfolk? So what we're walking through is ideal hare habitat. and you can walk, if you're walking and talking like this, look a bit distracted and not looking for hares.
Look, look, there you go.
There you go, right in front.
And a skylark. Hare, look at now, there's a hare galloping
going
away.
Uphill. Can you see the hind legs going in front of the front ones as it's going up?
Look at that. And it's a beautiful sandy brown colour with lovely black ear tips.
Yep. And there it is, disappeared over the top of a hill. You couldn't make it up. That's why they're magic.
This is why you have hills in Norfolk, is it? So that hares can disappear behind them.
Dear. My breath is taken away every time I see them.
Is that typical behaviour?
Absolutely. You saw it was going, it done a curve and then headed up the hill because it gives it an advantage. You just try and catch a hare on foot. They make us look stupid.
That one, you could tell straight away, anybody, that it was a hare and not a rabbit. Yep. It was the speed, the long hind legs and those big ears.
And it's quite a large animal. Now, that probably dictates it's a doe and she's on the move. She's probably been crazed by blokes all last night and she's wanted some peace and quiet. Because at this time of the year, jack hares, or the males, the testosterone level just goes out of the roof and they go mad. And this again enhances the reputation that hares are bonkers. They're not. Most of the year they're quite antisocial, quite solitary almost, but at this time of the year, the breeding season, they just come out of themselves. They forget that it's not night and they start cavorting about in the day. And most days in the tractor this time of the year, I see two or three hares, just almost like a Catherine wheel coming across the field. Just occasionally one will turn and box to the other. That might be two jack hares, two blokes sort of having a fisticuffs. But more often than not, if the female's not ready to mate, she will turn around and box at the jack hare. Stand up really high because they're a little bit bigger, box down at him, and if he still is persistent, she'll bite him, the hare will fly, and it gets really nasty until. But he usually stays about with her for a day or two, and usually that's long enough to ensure successful mating. When you see a whole group of them like that, they can't mate successfully. Usually the best matings are when just Jack and the Jill. Together somewhere quiet and mating can be performed properly. Gestation's about 44 days, depending on how much food's available.
We hear the expression mad as a March hare, and we're here in mid-March. It couldn't be better. The madness is all about testosterone, is it, and the urge to mate?
I think so, yes, and that's what overcomes everything else. Their normal reluctance to move about in daylight hours, but it really gets going at night.
When Chris Skinner was younger and used to hunt them on his family's farm, he learned how to call a hare.
I was taught by a gamekeeper in my early shooting career. I'm a bit ashamed to admit this now, but I learnt to call them up so they were in range to shoot them, because they were still a problem, or deemed to be a problem, in the 1960s when I was at the height of my shooting career here at the farm. And I had this special trick, which impressed everybody, of being able to call a hare. Now, rabbits have a split lip, but covering the teeth is a membrane. Hares also have a split lip, but the membrane is missing. So if you split the lip on a hare, you can actually see the front teeth. And hares, if leverets are caught, or hares are caught or threatened, they will scream like a baby almost, or if they're wounded, they make this horrible noise. But at close quarters, they will call each other. And I learnt to do that, and I learnt to call them up so they'd come towards you. And it's an amazing feeling. And they make this sound through the split lip, and it sounds like this. Just like that, and it works a treat. If you've got the wind in front of you, they can hear the sound, but they can't pick your scent up. And suddenly a hare will sit bolt upright, and if you keep doing the sound, it will gradually come towards you just out of sheer inquisitiveness.
I didn't take much persuading when Chris Skinner suggested we went out again at night, which is when hares are more active. At first, nothing. And then...
What's that?
We just saw something in front
there,
of us.
Look.
What have we got?
Oh, what's this?
And very
hare.
Close to a hare.
And another one
to our left.
Just went up.
Yes,
look. Oh, yeah. So Something else went up there as
and
well.
Another
Sorry.
One there.
There's got
three.
One, two, three in this
right,
rough
and
area.
They're just going into the field that we're now going into at the moment.
That's
typical of hares at this time of the year. It's like waiting for a bus. You wait and wait and wait, and then two or three come along at the same time. Oh,